From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
It is Forever Unbridled. Abel Tasman charging but running out of time. Forever Unbridled's going to do it. Forever Unbridled has won the Breeders' Cup Distaff. It is Irish War Cry. And on the outside, Taprit. Taprit has taken the lead. Taprit and Irish War Cry come down to the line together. It is Taprit and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
Originating from our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Shaman Ghost is trying to get into second, then Neolithic, back forth is Noble Bird, followed by Keen Ice. But what a race! What a sport! What a horse! Arrogate romps in the Pegasus! He won it by 3.5.
They're into the stretch. Good Magic's in front. Good Magic pulls away from Solomini, and Bob Doro will not get there today. Good Magic's going to win his first race, and he's going to do it in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Good morning once again, everyone, and welcome to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, all presented by our friends at Red Brand Fence. Happy to have you with us on this Saturday morning, the 10th day of March 2018, which means, yeah, we are just 56 days, 9 hours, 32 minutes, and 19 seconds away from the Run for the Roses, Saturday, May 5th at Churchill Downs, just about an hour from where we are sitting right now in our Jimmy John's of Lexington broadcast studios. I'm Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, my usual entry mate here on the network. You know him as Pope Jude, Pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld, and JT ready to roll on a Saturday morning. 56 days away from that first Saturday in May and the Run for the Roses. Derby preps abound here this afternoon, and if you're hoping to find a spot in the starting gate, you better show up this afternoon.
Yeah, absolutely. It's put up or shut up time. We got this week and next week, very important weeks for the Derby Trail. Looking forward to today's races. Hopefully the weather will hold at Santa Anita. They've been predicting rain all week long, but the latest I heard from my son Miles, who's out there working for the races today, yeah. TVG, he said that there's a chance it may not rain. So we'll see what happens. He's prepared for the rain, but you know, it's a crapshoot. Whenever it rains at Santa Anita, you don't know if the track's going to be hard or soupy.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. How does muddy. It change the complexion of that racetrack when they do get rain?
Well, I'm sure since they're expecting rain, somewhat, they probably had the track sealed tight as a drum last night. So it'll depend on whether they train this morning or what's going on. It's still a little early to tell what's going to happen this afternoon, but I would definitely keep an eye on the track conditions. And well, there's some turf racing today too, of course.
Yep. And the big cap.
And the big cap.
That too.
It's a fantastic day of racing at Santa Anita, as you would expect on big cap day. And so that's the big question mark. It's supposed to be nice at Tampa. Fantastic card at Tampa. Rain isn't supposed to hit there till tomorrow. So hopefully we get through a nice day of racing at Tampa. It looks fantastic.
Yeah, good race there too.
Yeah, the races all day long are excellent. So we'll see what happens there. And then New York, supposed to be nice in New York. Take a picture of that. When was the last time it was nice in New York? But it's supposed to be sunny all day. Big A's at a fever pitch for the races up at Aqueduct, and they have a nice card as well. So big day today.
And we're going to bring you coverage of all three prep races, the Gotham in New York, the Tampa Bay Derby in South Florida, and, of course, the San Felipe out on the West Coast at Santa Anita. That coverage begins 5:30 Eastern here on the network. And in addition to that, we'll bring you coverage of the Captiva Island from Gulfstream Park. It's part of our Saturdays at Gulfstream broadcast series. Again, 5:30 Eastern time, and you can tune in Sirius XM Channel 93. Later today to hear all those prep races. If you can't be in front of a television, we'll have you covered here on the network. And you think about the horses we're going to see coming up in those races. You look at the San Felipe and that return of Bolt Doro. He makes his three-year-old debut later today. He squares off with the exciting undefeated contender from Bob Baffert's barn, McKenzie. That's going to be a good showdown. And again, hopefully the track conditions work out and they'll be okay. The Gotham, you're going to see Free Drop Billy for Dale Romans going against Firenze Fire and Enticed. And then in the Tampa Bay Derby, maybe the main storyline is the dirt debut, the main track debut for Untamed Domain, racing in the colors of West Point Thoroughbreds for trainer Graham Motion. He squares off with Vino Rosso and Flame Away. If Untamed Domain takes to the dirt the way he's handled the turf course, he becomes a major, major player in this Kentucky Derby picture.
Yeah, no question. He's a quality horse. And, you know, we just couldn't get Graham Motion to say he thinks he'll handle the dirt. I kept trying to get him.
Close.
He came close, but he wouldn't commit. And so I don't know. We'll see if it's just an experiment or if Graham knows something we don't know. I don't think he wanted to embarrass himself by saying, yeah, he'll handle the dirt and having him run down the track. But, you know, there's no reason he couldn't handle the dirt. His sire, Animal Kingdom, he could run on anything.
Yep.
You know, dirt, poly, turf, you name it. He was an amazing horse and tons of talent there. So maybe the son will take after the dad. It's happened before.
Yeah, you're going to hear from Graham Motion coming up later in the program. We have a clip with him talking about Untamed Domain from an interview he did with us a few weeks ago. But I went ahead and repurposed it for this show because I think it's a pertinent clip looking ahead to what we're going to see this afternoon with that horse. You're going to hear from trainer Mick Ruiz as well. He told us a great story. He joined us on Trainer Talk on Wednesday evening. Jude and I spent a full hour with Mick. Went through his entire life story, which if you haven't heard that story, go back and listen to the program. It is absolutely amazing. It is a great story of perseverance and determination. But he told us a story about Bolt Doro and purchasing Bolt Doro at the Fasig Tipton Saratoga sale. It was a cool story, and he told us right off the bat, he doesn't know how many people know how this whole thing played out. But you will after you listen to the program and you hear that clip later today on the program.
Yeah, it's a great story. And he's had such an interesting life and lots of ups and downs, but has stuck to his guns through everything and really now is enjoying the fruits of his hard work.
We started talking about the potential for rainfall in the Arcadia, California area. Just pulled it up on weather.com. And here's what it looks like, Jude. We're okay this morning up until about 11 o'clock Pacific time. Then there's a 70% chance of rain. Then it goes to 90% at noon. It jumps up to 95. It's a 100% chance to 95% chance throughout the entire afternoon all the way past 7 o'clock tonight. Not good.
It's a good thing Miles brought his raincoat.
Yep. Look for the mutters.
That's right.
His mutter was a mutter.
That's right. Not looking good at this point. So we'll have to see. I just hate it when big races are run on off tracks. It just really bugs me.
I don't know if you handicap that race for a wet track, but is there an advantage to one or a couple of horses in there if it does come up wet? Are they too young? We just don't know.
Well, they're kind of inexperienced, you know,
And of course, I'm talking about the San Felipe. There's other races we'll talk about later in the program, the Big Cap.
Yeah, that's going to be a situation. Mick told us that Bolt Doro is running regardless of track condition. He's got the pedigree for it, but you know he's yet to perform on an off track. McKenzie's another one. You would think with his pedigree, he would like it, but you know it's always a crapshoot. And as they say, there's 5,000 different kinds of mud. You know, you'll see horses that have a good off track record, and the track will be sealed in a little hard, and they won't like it, or it's a little deeper than they would like to run on. So it just throws a monkey wrench into the whole proceeding as far as I'm concerned.
All right, here's our poll question for this morning. We mentioned the three Derby preps, the San Felipe, the Tampa Bay Derby, and the Gotham. If the Derby winner comes from one of those three races today, the Kentucky Derby winner, which of those races is most likely to produce the Derby winner? You have three choices, the Gotham, the Tampa Bay Derby, and the San Felipe. And you can weigh in and vote on our Twitter feed at HRRN. You can also hit us up on Facebook, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. And you can always email the show. Get in touch with us, mike@horseracingradio.net. And if you have any opinions you want to send us in that fashion, you can do it Or if you'd like to weigh in on some of our guests that are going to join us here today. And if you have a question for them, we'll try to pass it along for you as well as we move throughout the 2 hours. Busy show. Coming up around 8:15 Eastern, just about 5 minutes from right now, we're going to kick it off with our good friend Ed DeRosa from BrisNet.com and TwinSpires.com. He's also co-host of our BrisNet.com call-in show every Thursday night here on the network, along with the Big A, Anthony Stabile. Ed is going to join us to talk about the Derby preps this afternoon and that Derby future wager. We'll see who Ed might be leaning toward at this point with still some 50-some-odd days to go till the first Saturday in May. Again, you'll hear clips from Mick Ruiz and Graham Motion later in the first half of the program. Jude had a chance yesterday to sit down and talk with Hall of Famer Bob Baffert about his horses making their way down the road to Louisville, and nobody knows how to do it better than Bob. He's won the race 4 times. Looking forward to hearing that interview coming up at 9 o'clock Eastern time. Mike Nyman, Director of Marketing from Gulfstream, will be with us at 9:25 Eastern, and Mike Willman, the Director of Publicity at Santa Anita, will join us toward the end of the program, 9:40 Eastern time, to fill us in on everything happening at the Great Race Place, that tremendous card, and we'll get a weather update from Mike. But as you just heard, doesn't look good in Southern California here this afternoon. Hard to believe. The Derby right around the corner, my friend.
Yeah, less than 2 months away.
Opening day at Keeneland is on the horizon. Florida Derby on the horizon.
Lots of stuff going on.
And what a difference a week makes. Yeah. Sitting in Barbados at Garrison Savannah a week ago, and now we're sitting here freezing in our studios.
I can't tell you how many times I thought about that this week.
I knew you would.
It was consuming my thoughts, so to speak. Every time I went outside and freezing my tuchus off, and I'm thinking, man, I could be back on that beach right there in Dover. What is wrong with you? Why are you here?
You know, we only went to the beach for about 2 hours on Sunday morning, right? Or Sunday afternoon. We made it out there. It was supposed to rain all day on Sunday, and so we weren't planning on doing it, but the weather turned out to be fine. Went to the beach for 2 hours, and my face got so sunburned. I've been peeling all week. I've looked disgusting. I've had just the skin peeling off my face. I've been hideous all week long.
Well, you know, you got to do a little beach prep before you go.
Yeah, and of course, I made every beach mistake, as you told me, that I could have possibly made. I had a ball cap on, which I turned around and wore backwards. So when I took my hat off when we got back to the condo, I had a tan line all the way across my forehead, and the peninsula up top was still white.
Yeah.
And then I had sunglasses on, so I had the raccoon eyes, too. Let me tell you, it was not a good look for the Baron.
No, when you left Barbados, they were glad to see you go.
They were scared to death of me when I went through security. They couldn't get rid of me fast enough. They thought I had some kind of disease looking at my face. Oh, awful. Yeah, I've been rubbing the aloe vera on quite heavily this week.
Well, the beach was very nice that day. And I went to the beach one other time, and it rained. But it was fun sitting there in the rain. I was pretending I was on Survivor. And, you know, you always see the people on Survivor sitting out in the rain and they're freezing. And I'm going, I don't know why they're freezing. This is kind of nice.
Our thanks to everybody in Barbados for making that possible. Petra Roach with the Barbados Tourism Association, Rosette Pierce and her entire team. Just a great visit, and we can't thank them enough. And, of course, congratulations to Ken Ramsey, who wins the race for a third time. After being defeated the last 2 years, he turns it around. He runs 1-2. And congratulations to him and Sir Dudley Diggs, the son of Gio Ponti, for getting the victory over there or down there in Barbados. We're going to get to our first break. We'll come back. Ed DeRosa is next. He kicks it off on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Eric Hamelback, CEO of the National HBPA. Thoroughbred owners and trainers know the importance of keeping their horse on schedule, on the track, and injury-free. Even a small injury can result in losing precious time and serious money. That's why farms worldwide trust KeepSafe V-Mesh Fence from Red Brand. The strong mesh design flexes on impact and reduces injuries, keeping your athletes on schedule and on the track. Learn more about KeepSafe V-Mesh Horse Fence at redbrand.com.
Tom's ready. a multiple graded stakes winning millionaire by Sire of Sires More Than Ready. As a three-year-old, Tom's Ready scored in the prestigious Grade 2 Woody Stevens Stakes at Belmont and defeated champion Run Happy in the Grade 3 ACK-ACK at Churchill Downs before winning the Grade 3 Bold Ruler at 4, earning a 107 buyer, the co-fastest buyer at 7 furlongs in 2017. Tom's Ready, new for 2018 at Spendthrift Farm.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Have you been looking for high quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-5480.
Make plans now to attend the National HBPA Convention, March 13th to 17th in New Orleans, featuring discussions on the sport's hottest topics, including sports betting, inadvertent exposure to medications, and thoroughbred aftercare. You'll hear from guest speakers like Greg Benzel, Joe Asher, Ted Schultz, and Dr. Scott Stanley and Emily Woods. And prominent owner breeder Clay Witham will be on hand to deliver the keynote address. It's the National HBPA Convention, March 13th to 17th in New Orleans.
This is trainer Chad Brown, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
First finish line in use in the Fountain of Youth. Promises fulfilled. Still has the lead. Strike Power is second. Good Magic will need to do better. He's third, only 2.5 lengths off the lead. Then it's a gap of 3 to Machismo, who finds his best ride, and they turn in. The leader, Promises Fulfilled, tries to do it every step. Strike Power to the attack one more time. Good Magic has been defeated, then Machismo. Less than a 16th to go. The leader is still Promises Fulfilled, and Promises Fulfilled will spring the upset to win the Fountain of Youth under Irad Ortiz Jr. Strike Power was second, Good Magic third, then Machismo, and 144 flat.
A big day for trainer Dale Romans at Gulfstream Park last weekend. Promises Fulfilled, upsetting the Fountain of Youth. Pete Aiello had the call for you, and that was a race you heard here on HRN. Promises Fulfilled is a very fast horse, and he looked good winning that race. Whether he'll continue to look good as the distances get longer, we'll have to wait and see. But he had a disadvantageous post. He got to the front, outran Strike Power, which isn't easy to do, who was coming out of a win in the Swale, and then holds off horses like Good Magic, who probably needed the race. Looked like he might have been a little bit short coming into that race.
Just a little.
Yeah, a little. Yeah, we'll see how he moves forward, but good effort from Promises Fulfilled.
Yeah, no, it was sensational, really. Fantastic performance. And you told me that Dale kind of liked them. He had indicated that.
Yeah, he did. He told Anthony that on Express Bet Radio.
He was very keen on his chances. So that was a good thing if you listen to Dale. But, you know, a horse like that has a lot of speed and talent could be very dangerous in the Florida Derby.
Ed DeRosa is with us now here on the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Ed, Promises Fulfilled did nothing wrong last week. He wins by 2.25 lengths, takes him wire to wire. Are you buying or selling Promises Fulfilled at this point?
Certainly buying his talent, maybe selling from a Derby perspective. On the BristNet ratings, he probably performed better than any of the others. So for that reason, I'm definitely respecting his talent. He's the first three-year-old so far this year to have a 100 speed rating, 100 E2 pace rating. and 100 late pace rating. So definitely a great performance for him to set the fractions and come home like he did. Other horses who have done that in the past, though, J-Boy's Echo and More Spirit most recently, and those were miler types. So that's a little bit of my concern. And with him being by Shackleford, I do wonder about the mile and a quarter. But to me, the talent is clearly there. We'll see how far he can go. I was just shocked to hear that Dale liked him before the race.
Yeah, he thought that he could get to the front. He told Anthony the day before that he's a very fast horse, and they're not going to wrangle down his speed. They're going to let him run, and that's what they did, and it worked out. Were you surprised to see him in front of Strike Power?
Honestly, I'll say I wasn't surprised. And again, normally I don't hammer the company I work for like this, even though it is my job. But he was the lone E8 in the race, and I think Strike Power was an E6. So there was some indications that he could get to the front. The post was maybe one of the concerns people had that could prevent him from doing so. But he had shown the ability in his previous races that he could be the one sent in the fractions, and all credit to Irad for getting it done from post 10.
Yeah, sometimes when you have the outside post, it forces the jockey's hand, and that was maybe a good thing for the horse because he's never right. won without having the lead. Of course, he never has not had the lead except at the finish of the Kentucky Jockey Club. I want to say hats off to whoever bought him for $37,000. That was a very, very astute purchase. I don't know who the agent was or if Dale picked him out or whoever, but wow, that's pretty cool. A $37,000 Keeneland September yearling, and he's made 327 already, with obviously more on the horizon.
Yeah, and counting for sure.
Is he off to the Florida Derby yet? Is that what you're hearing?
That's what I heard immediately after, and haven't heard much follow-up since, so that would seem to be the case.
It'd be a nice showdown between him and Audible, who is also pointing for that race. Of course, Audible trained by Todd Pletcher, a winner of the Holy Bull Stakes, skipped the Fountain of Youth. And interesting, when you look at the Kentucky Derby future wager odds, and people can go wager on the Derby futures now this weekend, Audible 8-1, Promises Fulfilled, all the way down to 8-1 off of that win in the Fountain of Youth.
Yeah, that seems a little light to me. I will say we're probably waiting on several of the obvious horses who are running today. People rightfully sitting on their hands before they would want to bet a Bolt the Oro or McKenzie or Free Drop Billy, et cetera. So I would expect Promises Fulfilled to be the one of those two that'll drift up. Audible, I think, is probably going to settle around there when the wagering closes. But it was a good performance. 8-1, though, to me would be a little light. I would be happy to offer 8-1 to anyone who wants it.
What's your approach when you are looking at the future wager?
I like to sort of spread the risk. This is the third pool, so we've had some opportunities, and I've been out to Vegas, so the win has its book for those who are able to get down on the bookmaking aspect. To me, I do look for bigger prices. I don't have the bankroll where I'm just comfortable betting horses at 6, 8, 10-1 months away and tying that money up. So, for me, my future wagering is pretty much done by this point, because the horses I really think have a shot, now that we're 8 weeks out, are the horses that are pretty easy to identify. And if they're not, they're in the field. So to me, I'm pretty much done. But I will say, in still regard, sometimes you can get a decent price on horses you think can still turn it around. If I were to look, he would be one at 30 or 40-1, if that's where he ended up, that I might take a shot, because I do think he was up against it, and I do think the horses in front of him aren't too bad that ran in the Risen Star. So I don't think we've heard the last of him, but I definitely like to shoot for the moon. It's just not – I don't have the bankroll where I can make prime win plays and sit on the money for 3-6 months.
Visiting with our good friend Ed DeRosa from Brisnet and Twin Spires here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. You can catch Ed every Thursday night with Anthony Stabile on the Brisnet.com call-in show here on the network. It airs from 6 to 7 Eastern, Sirius 219 XM206, and you can call in and participate and talk some racing with Ed and Anthony. Ed, I threw out a poll question on our Twitter feed, at HRRN, and I asked listeners to vote this morning, from which of today's Kentucky Derby prep races is the Derby winner most likely to come? The Tampa Bay Derby, the Gotham, or the San Felipe? That's assuming the Derby winner comes from one of those three. Which one are you voting for?
I would take the chalk in this regard. I have both the Aura 1 and McKinsey 2 in my current Derby poll, so I certainly am expecting that there's other good talent out there, but for the purposes of the question, I wouldn't even have to think about it. I mean, the San Felipe to me has the top two.
Yeah, and that is currently the leader in the clubhouse with our voting. 48% of HRN Nation weighing in and saying the San Felipe most likely. Tampa Bay Derby, 30%, and the Gotham trailing the field here with just 22%.
Yeah, I think that's probably accurate all the way down. The Gotham being a mile race, one turn mile race, kind of doesn't really fit into the Derby schedule the way that it should.
Were you surprised to see Dale bypass the Fountain of Youth last weekend with Free Drop Billy and go to the Gotham, a one-turn race?
Yes and no. I mean, in retrospect, knowing how much Dale liked his other horse, not shocking. I think Dale wants Derby points. I think Dale's trying to load the starting gate as much as he can. He's basically said so. And I think he feels like the Gotham's maybe his best shot to get a win and some points, and he'll worry about the distance stuff later. Mm-hmm. I think Dale has enough self-confidence. I mean, we know Dale pretty well, and we know Dale thinks he has a grasp of thoroughbred racing, which he certainly does. And so I think he's more interested in making sure that his horses have a chance to get in the starting gate than he is worried about how he's going to get them ready for the Derby.
Ed, outside of the top two that you mentioned earlier, Bolt Doro and McKinsey, which is a great showdown in that San Felipe at Santa Anita, which other three-year-olds are you looking forward to seeing this afternoon?
Definitely Free Drop Billy. One of the reasons I was looking forward to seeing him in the Fountain of Youth was, we really haven't gotten a gauge on Audible's performance in the Holy Bull yet. Free Drop Billy and Enticed was in that race too, so I guess the Gotham in general, but Free Drop Billy especially, to me, was second best in the Holy Bull. So eager to see them run back and get a better beat on where Audible fits, because after the West Coast horses, and with Good Magic finishing an uninspiring third in the Fountain of Youth, Audible does seem to be sort of the East Coast hope to the West Coast onslaught. So to me, the Gotham and especially Free Drop Billy, I'd say I'm looking forward to most, just to get a better gauge on that class.
Free Drop Billy currently with 14 points. Now, this will all change substantially over the course of the next several weeks when we get into some of the bigger numbered prep races and more value to the winners. But Free Drop Billy in 10th position with those 14 points. The leader is Bravazo coming out of that big, big win down in Louisiana over Snapper Sinclair. He has 54 points. Anybody in Louisiana jumped off the page to you, Ed? Are you buying a horse like Bravazo?
Yeah, I'd say Instilled Regard, which he's, part of that West Coast onslaught. I mean, coming out of that race, I guess just because people are jumped off the bandwagon, I might jump on. In general, it came back a touch slow, but the track was tricky. I mean, all week they were saying how, you wanted to be on the front end. And I thought Snapper Sinclair, who some maybe dismissed off the LeCompte, sticking around for third, ran even better. I was disappointed not to see him in the future wager because he would have been one, given the points he has and the heart the horse has shown and that people have liked him in races like the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. He would have been one at a big price that has done nothing wrong that I may have taken a shot at. There's some horses in the field, so maybe you take a bunch and you get him with it. But that's another race similar to, Audibles. We're looking forward to seeing some horses run back and get a sense of the class that we saw and how it stacks up.
One thing I can tell you, Baffert was a little surprised Marino wasn't in the in the future wager, and I was surprised his mischief didn't make it. So it's an eclectic group in Pool 3. Would you say so?
Yeah, it's, you know, Untamed Domain was in Pool 2. I thought that was a surprise, but then he doesn't show up here in Pool 3, and he's running this weekend. You know, the trouble with Pool 2 is they put horses like Mask and Copper Bullet in, who hadn't even started or were close to a race, according to their trainers, and now they're out. So they had to be replaced by these horses who have earned points. Makes it tough when there's only 23 to choose from, but, yeah, I think eclectic is a good way of putting it.
Ed, in this third pool, you're getting 15-1 on the juvenile champion Good Magic after that third-place finish in the Fountain of Youth last weekend. Could we look at that as being somewhat of considerable value on Good Magic?
Yeah, 15 is probably why I raised my eyebrows. I mean, I didn't love his Fountain of Youth, and not because he didn't win. You know, that's forgivable, even though he was the favorite and expected to win at odds on. But Promises Fulfilled, I thought, ran great. Gate to Wires, you know, his game, and he got to run it. I definitely am not encouraged that he didn't get past Strike Power. And Strike Power is a fine animal who I'm sure we'll hear from throughout the year as well. But, you know, there's no doubt that Good Magic was expected to be the better horse, and the reality is he just wasn't. Having said that, you know, they're going to try to make the Derby. He has the connections that like to be in those type of races, especially the owner. The Bluegrass seems to fit schedule wise. I definitely like that move versus the Florida Derby. So, you know, if he runs well in the Bluegrass, all of a sudden he's 8-10-1 in the Derby. And if he were to win, maybe even less. So, you know, 15 sort of that price where you could say, given the connections, it's sort of a good bet from what he might be on Derby Day. I'm selling his chances overall, though. I just didn't see enough in the Fountain of Youth.
Any special promotions this weekend from Brisnet or Twin Spires that folks can look forward to?
Well, if you're playing Santa Anita, definitely heartily recommend checking out all the great workout reports. And Gus Alonso has some selections up. So that's definitely worth checking out. And then on Twin Spires, it's a show place win weekend. Pick a horse to show in the Tampa Bay Derby, to place in the San Felipe, and to win in the Gotham, which to me was the hardest of the races. So you'll have to earn the promo if you nail the Gotham.
All right, good stuff. He's Ed DeRosa, Brisnet.com, TwinSpires.com, and host, along with Anthony Stabile, of our Brisnet.com call-in show every Thursday night at 6 Eastern.
Can I give a pick real quick?
Go for it.
World of Trouble in the Tampa Bay Derby.
Ooh, stepping out a little bit there.
I'm hoping for 5-1 and would take every cent of it.
All right. Ed DeRosa, there he is. World of Trouble. We call him the Duke, by the way, the Duke of Degeneracy. Sometimes I mess it up and say Duke of Debauchery. Duke of Degeneracy.
I think he probably would prefer the latter.
Yeah, he very well could. And Ed, like all of our guests who appear on the program, will receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Embrace your passion and wear what you love by visiting EmbraceTheRace.com. All right, it is time now for our Lexus Legends of the Turf segment, brought to you every single Saturday at this time by our good friends at the Lexus store of Lexington. When we come back, we'll hear from trainer Mick Ruiz talking about Bolt Doro, and you'll hear from Graham Motion on Untamed Domain. That's next, right after your Lexus Legends of the Turf.
On Saturday afternoon, August 31st, 1955, at Washington Park in the suburbs of the Windy City, Chicago, on the shores of Lake Michigan, two giants of the world of thoroughbred racing were about to square off in a rubber match, as it were. Each had defeated the other during the year, and the arguments amongst fans and horsemen alike had been raging all year long as to which one indeed was the best, Nashua or Swaps. Nashua, the son of Nasrullah, was racing in the colors of Belair Stud, was conditioned by the venerable Sonny Jim Fitzsimmons, and had the crafty, wily, hard-nosed, heady Eddie Arcaro in the saddle. Swaps, that year's Kentucky Derby winner, in which he whipped Nashua, by the way, was owned by Rex Ellsworth, trained by Mish Tenney, and had the services of Willie Shoemaker as his reinsman. The two stellar stalwarts were equally weighted, and the distance was 1¼ miles. The strategy was put forth in the paddock as follows. Fitzsimmons told Arcaro to, quote, keep the other horse busy all the way, and let the best horse win, unquote. Tenney told Shoemaker, quote, save a little horse at all times and run when you have to, ride him as you always have, unquote. The track surface at Washington that day was on the slow side and drying out, and that, as it turned out, was most probably a key factor in the race itself. Nashua, breaking from post two, went away very quickly under solid urging from Arcaro and assumed an early lead. Swaps, breaking from post four, was hustled up by Shoemaker, who would have none of Arcaro's attempted ploy, and they were both soon side by side. They were right together, with Nashua holding the slightest of leads as they went the first quarter in 23 flat, the half in 46 flat, and the first six panels in 110 and 2. On down the backside and on into the turn, they remained exactly the same. Between the 3/8 pole and the quarter pole, smack in the middle of the turn, it appeared Swaps was ready to make his big move. As they came off the top of the turn to the straight, the wily Arcaro took Nashua out off the rail just a little bit to find a more solid footing, and Shoemaker had a choice to make, to either drop down to the fence where the going was deep and tiring, or to go to the overland route. Schumacher opted to take his mount out and around, if indeed he could. Well, by this time, Nashua had opened a clear lead, and Swaps was a beaten horse. Nashua continued to increase his margin through the final 3/16 to ultimately cross the wire, a 6.5-length winner in a final time of 2:04-1 in the deep going. The key to the race was, without any shadow of the doubt, the impeccable strategy of Arcaro, who lived up to the fullest his reputation as a master reinsman and the affectionate moniker of Eddie Eddie. Every time Shoemaker had let Swaps put a notch on the backside and into the far turn, Arcaro had responded in kind with Nashua, and that stratagem on the turn, when forcing Swaps out some, was the work of a true artist in the saddle. After the race, Shoemaker said he felt Swaps did not take a liking to the track condition and surface, and it was later learned that his right foreleg, on the foot of which he wore a protective leather pad between frog and shoe, had gone lame. Nevertheless, the score had been settled, the way it should have been, on the racetrack, against each other, August 31st, 1955, Washington Park in the Windy City. A great moment in thoroughbred racing.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Penna here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwiches, Ed speaking.
Yes, I need a sandwich delivery right away.
What kind of sandwich?
I don't care. Just get it to 215 Elm Street right now.
I'm on my way!
Jimmy John's.
Thanks for getting here so fast.
You're welcome, sir. Here's your sandwich. By the way, did you know your house is on fire?
That's why I called Jimmy John's.
Fire makes you hungry?
No, I knew you'd get here fast. Grab a bucket.
We're going to need more than two guys, sir.
You're right. What'll we do?
Leave it to me, sir.
Hello?
Hello, boss? Send everyone you got to 215 Elm.
Roger.
Doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, sir. I'll explain later.
Roger.
Thank you, sir.
Jimmy John's.
Come in. Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Fire department.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your...
It's okay, Captain. We got it handled. Care for a sandwich?
Thanks, but tell me something.
Shoot.
Why didn't you call the fire department first?
I did.
Order Jimmy John's sandwich delivery today. Jimmy John's, where fresh and fast meet.
Adina Spring Stallion, point of entry.
Point of entry scores to win the Man of War by four lengths.
A five-time Grade 1 winner, viewed by many to be the heir to Dynaformer's global legacy.
Wild final furlong coming here in the Sword Dancer, and here comes Point of Entry, who's running to daylight.
The first horse since Theatrical to win the New York Turf Triple Crown, accomplishing the feat by a combined nine lengths.
And they're coming down to the finish. and Point of Entry will go to the Breeders' Cup on a 5-race winning streak.
Point of Entry hails from a remarkable female family with his first 4 dams grade 1 winners and or producers. Now with winners in 6 countries on all surfaces from 5.5 to 10 furlongs, including the sensational undefeated Greatest Stakes winner Analyze It, widely regarded as the best turf horse in his crop. The heir to Dynaformer and the next global sire is Point of Entry. Visit AdinaStallions.com.
Racing fans, the moment has arrived. It's Santa Anita Handicap Day. In addition to the 81st running of the legendary Big Cap on Saturday, top Derby prospects will go a mile and a 16th in the Grade 2 San Felipe, and we'll also have the Grade 1 Frankie Kilrow Mile and the Grade 1 Triple Bend Stakes. Along with great racing, we've got great gambling as well, with a $1 million guaranteed late pick 4 and a revamped wagering menu that includes $2 win, place, and show parlay wagers. And beginning Sunday, we'll have an 11:30 a.m. start on all Sundays. Santa Anita, great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
Hi, this is Calvin Burrow. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
I'm learning every day, and I ask questions, you know, to Mr. Drysdale, Mr. Mandela, Mr. Scherz, you know, I mean, I'm, you know, Steve Mayat. I mean, I'm the guy that probably asks a million questions to a million trainers backside. You know, I don't think there's a dumb question I ever ask. Some people might say, well, that guy doesn't even know what he's talking about. You know, you might ask a million people their opinion, and you might use one or two of them. But I'm the guy in the backside asking questions, and it's worked for me.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence on the Horse Racing Radio Network. That's trainer Mick Ruiz, who sends out his exciting 3-year-old Bolt Doro in this afternoon's San Felipe Stakes at Santa Anita. He'll break from the rail under new rider Javier Castellano, the Hall of Famer taking over for Corey Nakatani, who was aboard in all 4 starts of Bolt Doro's juvenile campaign. And JT, that was so impressive to visit with Mick Ruiz for an hour on Trainer Talk presented by Fasig Tipton this past week, Wednesday night. That show is up on our website. Full hour visit with Mick. He was tremendous. You can check it out at horseracingradio.net. But his comments there about asking questions. Right? Now, keep in mind, he is now the owner and the trainer of these horses that are in his stable, which is kind of a neat concept. You told him during the interview that he can't be fired.
That's right. Right?
He's the only trainer that can't be fired.
That's the best feeling on earth. I'm very envious of Mick Ruiz and the position that he's in now. He's got everything that he needs and wants, and it's fantastic.
Whatever questions he asked of Mr. Baffert and Mr. Drysdale, as he respectfully refers to them, he's learned very well. He's taken those answers to heart, and it's paying off for him now.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's always good if you don't know the answer or you need advice to ask questions. I used to ask questions when I was training. I'd go to Charlie Whittingham, you know.
Yep.
My favorite one was I had a horse that the owner had purchased for like $300,000, and he was very studdish, and we tried everything. So I went to Charlie. I said, look, this horse is so studdish. You know, what should I do? He said, just geld him. I said, but we paid $300,000 for him. He goes, that's not much money. It wasn't much to him, but it was the big horse. But, you know, and that was probably the most sage advice that he could have given. But, you know, even Bobby Frankel had a horse named Hackawin one time. And Buster Milrick was sitting at the gap on his pony and spitting tobacco juice, as Buster's custom. Bobby was outstanding by Buster, and Buster says, you know, I can fix that horse. Bobby goes, what are you talking about? That horse that bolts all the time, I can fix him. And Bobby said, well, fix him then. he says, okay, come to my barn in a half hour. So Bobby went to Buster's barn, and he gave him this bit that we all called the Hack-a-Wind bit because it was that was the horse Hack-a-Wind that used to bolt on the turn. He'd tremendously fast horse, but he'd get to the turn, he'd go to the outside fence. And Bobby put that bit on the horse, and I think he won, I want to say like four in a row, couple graded stakes maybe. I mean, he just turned into a whole different horse yeah. with that bit. So even a guy like Frankel, as great as he was, would take advice from another trainer. And, of course, both those guys in the Hall of Fame now. But you know, it's a tough business, and you learn every day. And I don't care how old you are or how long you've been training. You just get better with age, in my opinion. You know, when you first start out, you know, you might have good success or whatever, and you think you're pretty hot. But as you train more and more horses, as the sample gets bigger, it's a tougher game, and you learn more every day from that experience.
Well, Mick Ruiz also learned a thing or two when he was going through the bidding process at the Fasig Tipton Saratoga sale when he purchased Bolt Doro, and here is that clip from trainer talk this past week. I think you'll enjoy this.
When I bought him at Saratoga Select, I don't know if too many people know the story. You know, I said I'd go to 500,000. That got up there pretty quick. The owner of Songbird, Mr. Porter, I think his name is, he was bidding on it on a Bolt also, and it ended up going at 25,000 increments with just him and us. Until we got to 500, then I told him, okay, we'll keep going. And we got up to 600. And, you know, I said, okay, 600, that's it. He went up to 625. And Ike says, boss, let me try something. And I said, well, what are you going to do? He goes, I got to hang up. I'm going to try for $5,000. So he hangs up the phone. Next thing I know, he's calling back, says, we got it. I go, what? He goes, yeah, I bid $5,000. They got mad because it was 25 increments. They walked away for Bolt for $5,000, and we got him for 630.
So wow, I'm like
going, this could be a really cool story, or it could be, man, he sure did get lucky by getting mad and walking away. He just saved himself $630,000, right?
Yeah, goes both then ways.
Then we got him to Montana, and he was running in his 10-acre, you know, pasture out there, full steam. That's when we knew we had something special. He just glided across. But then I was just always, when I was getting the videos from Ike or if I was up there visiting the ranch, I'd be like, one gopher hole and there's my $630,000 down the drain, you know. But we wanted him to be a horse. We wanted him to build muscle. We wanted him to not, we didn't have one horse shin buck out of the 13 we brought from Montana to the racetrack last year. So we let them be horses and see what they can do. He got down after first. Ike got on him and said, boss, I've been on horse since I'm 12 years old. Never been on something that moves like this before. He is so smooth and he's got different gears. So that was kind of fun just from the ranch. After we broke him and told him that, we got him down to San Luis Rey, and Ron Glatt works for me. You know, he's a really, really great trainer, older guy. And he's, you know, I trust him with my babies there before they get to me at in Santa Anita. And Ron said, these are real special ones. The exercise rider's boss, this one's really special. We got him Santa Anita, and that's when they said he's got gears. You know, he's got gears that other horses don't have, and he's so smart, and he's kind. You know, almost kind where we say we got to wake him up to go to the races now. So that's how the story is. We knew that, you know, he was special.
If you could win the Kentucky Derby, it would be what?
You know, it would be for all the boots and hammer guys, the blue collar guys, the guys that tried hard, that could say, you know, you might have had a hiccup along the road one time, but, you know, just grab your bootstraps and keep going. And if we were to win the Kentucky Derby, I already made a pact with Wendy. She said she's going to look really, really nice. I said, okay, baby, you always look nice, but I'm going to be the guy with, I might put a sport coat on, but I will have a white working t-shirt underneath that in the winner's circle.
That's trainer Mick Ruiz. What an unbelievable visit it was with him on Trainer Talk this past week. Head over to our website and check it out. JT, some unbelievable comments there. And yeah, I mean, he really does look at this journey as being one that is representing everybody out there that picks up the lunch pail and goes to work every single day, because that's what Mick Ruiz had to do through all the ups and downs in his life to get to where he is today.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. A scaffolding job came up for him when he was very young, right out of school. And his dad said, oh, you don't want to do that. It's very dangerous. And, you know, it's tough work. And so Mick said, okay, Dad, give me $20. I need $20 today. And his dad says, you better take that job. I thought that was a great line. And because of that situation, he owned and still owns part of the biggest scaffolding company in the United States.
And so a guy cool. who did not graduate from high school. He dropped out with 1 month to go in his senior year, went to work, earned a living with that scaffolding company you mentioned, built it up to $2.5 million, sells it for that $2.5 million value, and then gets into the horse business. 4 years later, the guy's broke, comes back, starts a new business, scaffolding business, sells it to a former Secretary of the Navy, 80% of it for about $78 million. Now he's back in the game, and he's back in the game in a big way. And here he is with a horse like Bolt Doro, and a really cool story. He has learned, he has worked his tail off, and trust me, we're just scratching the surface with the story. You have to go back and listen to the show.
There's so many good little stories, little side stories to the Mick Rui story. It's fascinating, really.
Yeah, head on over there now, horseracingradio.net, or well, wait till 10 o'clock Eastern until we're done here. Then go listen to it after you listen to the rest of the program, because we've got plenty more to come, including our good friend Graham Motion, who joined us a few weeks ago on this show. And he talked about Untamed Domain, who goes to post in the Tampa Bay Derby this afternoon. Now, keep in mind, this interview was about 3 weeks ago, but there was a clip with Graham talking about Untamed Domain trying the dirt for the first time after having so much success on the grass. And here's what Graham had to say.
Look, I've had two jockeys working on the dirt. Both Jose has worked him and now Fergal, and they both say he handles it very well. You know, when you see a horse work here on the grass at Palmetto's, they just get over it much quicker, so I think they tend to look a little more impressive. But this is a very workmanlike horse. He's always worked on the dirt at Fairhill. I've never really questioned that he would handle it. We started him on the grass at Saratoga, just because I think it's, well, actually back at Laurel, and then we took him out to Saratoga. I just think it's a little kinder on these two-year-olds to start them on the grass where they don't get the kickback in their face, and also you get to go two turns a little quicker on the grass. So I think he'll handle it. We got to find out. I think Animal Kingdoms have shown they can handle the dirt. He had a good runner last year with Kenny McPeak on the dirt. He's getting some dirt winners. It's just Derby or no Derby, it's just extremely gratifying to have one of his first progeny be this good. And I think he's going to continue to have, you know, some serious runners here this year.
Yeah, and Untamed Domain has been very good for our friends at West Point Thoroughbreds. He's been in the money in five of his six starts. Now, just the two wins, but they've been good ones. He won the Grade 2 Summer Stakes at Woodbine following his maiden victory, and then last time out, third in the Dania Beach at Gulfstream Park. JT, what do you think? Does he handle the dirt here today? What's your gut feeling?
Well, my gut feeling is Graham wouldn't run him on the dirt unless he thought he could handle it.
Yep.
He did say that the horse works on the dirt at Fairhill, and you know, you have your options there. So I'm expecting him to run his race where that fits in this field. Nobody really knows for sure, but you know, I wouldn't be shocked if he won the race by Animal Kingdom, and he's a Clear Sky farm bred. They had a fantastic year last year, and you know, I think sky's the limit for this horse. If he runs on the dirt, he's like Catholic Cowboy. He's got plenty of options.
Yeah, and there's a chance that the dirt might even move him up. You know, like we saw with Animal Kingdom, his sire. If it does move him up, then he's going to be extra tough in the spot this afternoon and likely moving forward.
Yeah. Catholic Boy, not Catholic Cowboy. Catholic Boy beat him in the With Anticipation. That was back in August.
Yep.
But, you know, I think they're very similar type horses, and I'm very excited about Catholic Boy. So, He's certainly a contender. I would not leave him off my tickets, that's
Catholic
for sure.
Boy, of course, awaiting the Florida Derby coming up on March 31st. We'll be there to bring you that coverage here on the network, and you'll hear coverage of the Tampa Bay Derby, the San Felipe, and the Gotham later this afternoon. Anthony Stabile will bring you that coverage at 5:30 Eastern on the network. You can tune in a programming change that will be on Sirius XM 93. 5:30 Eastern, Sirius XM 93. Hear all three of those prep races, plus the Captiva Island at Gulfstream. It's all part of our Saturdays at Gulfstream broadcast series. We'll take you all the way through the Florida Derby every Saturday with live coverage. And real quick note before we get to our final break in the first hour, want to congratulate Mark Winsat, who is from Louisville, Kentucky. He was the winner of our Road to the Florida Derby Challenge, that handicapping contest that we ran in partnership with Gulfstream. He'll be joining us on this show that Saturday morning at Gulfstream Park for the Florida Derby as he gets a trip for two down to South Florida. And looking forward to meeting Mark, and congratulations to him.
Yeah, he was almost a runaway winner, you might say. He had the contest wrapped up with 2 weeks to go, and not easy to do. Obviously a very good handicapper, and certainly had a grasp of the Derby horses.
Yeah, don't think I'm not asking him for a pick for the Florida Derby. No, I'm getting his pick, and I'm going to bet it because the guy was on fire throughout the whole contest.
I would think that would be a good thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't want my pick.
Well, I don't know. Maybe he does.
Why would anybody want my pick?
To throw it out.
To scratch it. Well played. All right, we're going to get to our final break of the first hour. We'll come back and update you on the poll question and tell you what's ahead in hour number two. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, your home for the Kentucky Derby and the Triple Crown.
They're off in the Kentucky Derby. They're off in the Preakness. They're off in the Belmont Stakes.
You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Triple Crown.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family-owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
I'm visiting with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, how are things in the insurance world?
Things are just fine in the insurance business, Mike. I'm grateful for the people who place their trust in Nicholson Insurance Agency to protect their homes, autos, farms, and horses against financial loss. As you know, we represent many insurance companies, so we can choose just the right company for each client at the right price. We welcome each opportunity to provide quality service to our clients.
So having many companies seems important.
Absolutely. Just like in thoroughbred racing and breeding, competition also works for the betterment of the insurance industry. I am constantly impressed with the ways companies respond to consumer demands with new insurance products and services.
Thanks, Joe. For your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080 or visit us on Facebook. You gotta know Joe.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at TonySteaksandSeafood.com.
Power. And Tapazar, a sterling performance today. Tapazar and Cory Nakatani take the dirt mile.
Passion.
And it's American Pastime in a very, very impressive effort today.
Performance.
But it's Monomoy Girl and the Rachel Alexandra Stakes. Laurent Giroux and Monomoy Girl, 1/3.
Gainesway Stallion Tapazar is Tappet's leading miler, breaking his maiden by 10.5 lengths as a 2-year-old, wiring the Grade 3 Sham Stakes by 4.5 lengths at 3, and running away with the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile at 4. A top 10 third crop sire, now with more than $3 million in progeny earnings, including Monomoy Girl, who discovered a new racing style while winning the Grade 2 Rachel Alexandra at the fairgrounds, closing from last to blow by the field in the stretch. Monomoy Girl is now being pointed for Keeneland's Grade 1 Ashland. Tapazar, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Hi, this is jockey Emma Jane Wilson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
They come to the quarter pole, and it's all out blitz on the inside of McKenzie. Shiver Me Timbers could not go with McKenzie. Just took up a little bit there, but looked to be tiring at the time. My Boy Jack running fourth. McKenzie strides clear at the eighth pole. Puts two lengths on. All out blitz. Four lengths away. Shiver Me Timbers with My Boy Jack. But it's a domineering display by the ultra-talented McKenzie as he takes the sham while well in hand. Three and a half lengths to All Out Blitz. My Boy Jack. Shiver Me Timbers, City Plan next.
Michael Rona with the call. McKenzie winning the Sham Stakes. He is undefeated, and he squares off with Bolt Doro later today in the San Felipe Stakes. The poll question of the morning, votes coming in rapidly. You can weigh in at HRRN. That's our Twitter feed. From which of today's Kentucky Derby prep races is the Derby winner most likely to come? And with McKenzie and Bolt Doro going in the San Felipe, that race a runaway in the voting right now. 66% of HRN Nation saying, yeah, that's the one, the San Felipe. The Tampa Bay Derby second with 18%, the Gotham right behind it with 16%. And Jude, I think when you look at the quality of those two horses, although there are good horses in the other races, they're not as accomplished as McKenzie and Bolt Doro, so really no surprise here.
Yeah, not really, but I think people have certain horses that they like and probably voted for them if they think there's a horse that stands out. It's an interesting question, and only time will tell. But every once in a while, you get one of those races that is what I like to call a key race, a race that's running fast time, and horses come out of that race. A few years ago, it was the Holy Bull, and it seems to me like maybe this year it might be the Holy Bull again.
Audible. We'll see him in the Florida Derby, and we'll have that coverage for you here on the network. Head over to horseracingradio.net to check out a complete Road to the Kentucky Derby broadcast schedule as we bring you coverage of all the major preps here on HRRN. Don't forget that the two-year-old sales season gets underway on Tuesday with the OBS March sale, where Coolmore America's Verrazano is strongly represented by 14 members of his first crop. By far the best son of More Than Ready, Verrazano produced a scintillating performance to win the Haskell Invitational by 9 3/4 lengths. Who can forget that performance? Earning a 116 buyer, the highest of any three-year-old in 2013. He has already passed on his good looks with his first yearlings, realizing up to $650,000 last year, and with several extremely impressive breezes on the board so far in Ocala, 2018 is shaping up to be a big year for Verrazano. So call the team at Ashford to get in while you still can. That's Verrazano at Ashford. Interviews with Bob Baffert, Mike Nyman, and Mike Willman all ahead in hour number two. Stay with us. We're back right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Gunrunner reaching for the wire. Collectors alongside. And then comes West Coast and War Story. But Gunrunner's on top of the world. He wins the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Arrogate is getting going late now. Collected is in front. Arrogate closing on the outside. It's a Bob Baffert 1-2, but Collected going to win it. Collected and Martin Garcia won the Pacific Classic.
Originating from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
But Arrogate swoops up on the outside. America's King Croesus of horse racing went to the front. 200 meters left to go. Arrogate has drawn away from Gunrunner.
Always Dreaming with a 2.5 length lead at 16th to go. Looking at Lee is second. Then comes Battle of Midway, Classic Empire. They're coming to the line, and the dream comes true. Always Dreaming has won the Kentucky Derby.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Barron and Pontiff, that's Penna and Feld. We are with you again in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios, and happy to have you with us as we roll on a very busy morning. First half of the show featured our interview with Ed DeRosa from Brisnet and Twin Spires, talking about the Kentucky Derby future wager bet, some of the contenders that you can wager on this weekend, and of course some of the horses to look for in the prep races as we make our way toward that first Saturday in May. Believe it or not, an hour closer than we were at 8 o'clock Eastern. 56 days, 8 hours, 29 minutes, and 23 seconds away.
Edging ever closer.
Ever closer. Of course, we'll be there with exclusive radio coverage of the Kentucky Derby in partnership with NBC Sports and Westwood One. The only place you'll hear it on radio, coast to coast and worldwide, is with us, and that goes for all three Triple Crown races. Head over to horseracingradio.net and check out the schedule. Hall of Famer Bob Baffert is going to be a very busy man in the coming weeks as he looks for his fifth Derby victory. Jude had a chance to catch up with him yesterday. We're going to have that interview for you momentarily. Mike Nyman, Director of Marketing, will be with us at 9:25 Eastern, and Mike Willman, the Director of Publicity at Santa Anita, will be with us at 9:40 Eastern, and looking forward to getting an update on the weather conditions at Santa Anita. We started the show talking about the fact that there is rain in the forecast and 95 to 100% chance of rain throughout the afternoon in Arcadia, California. Let's hope Mike has some better news, but it doesn't look good according to weather.com.
Yeah, it's always dicey when it's going to rain in California. People can't drive and the horses have, sometimes can't negotiate the track. So not used to any precipitation.
Well, when it comes to the San Felipe Stakes, Bob Baffert has really held a lot of the cards over the years. He has been very, very good. He has won the race more than any other trainer, JT. I went back to research this. He has won it on six different occasions, his first in 99, his most recent last year with Mastery. Interesting, though, none of those six horses for Bob have ever gone on to win the Kentucky Derby. He's had two horses run in the San Felipe that have won the Derby, but they've both been second in this race, Silver Charm and Real Quiet. So maybe, for Bob, it's better to be second with McKenzie today.
Well, it's possible. I don't think he's worried.
Historically speaking.
I don't think he's worried about it. And, of course, in the old days, they didn't have the points. So lots of things to consider, but the way he's trained that horse, it looks like it's all systems go.
Yeah, and I mentioned you had a chance to visit with him yesterday.
Yeah, you know, Bob's always great with HRN and especially nice to me. And I always hearken back to the Breeders' Cup at Monmouth Park, and Bob won the sprint with Midnight Loot, and a bunch of people wanted to talk to him, and he said, no. He says, Jude interviewed me when nobody else was interviewing me, so I'm going to him first. And, like, all the people are shaking their head like, you got to be kidding me. But it was cool, and he's always great, and we had a real fun conversation yesterday. Bob, you've got McKenzie in the San Felipe. Big story. He's been training lights out. You've gone old school with the 7/8 works. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, I mean, I just always do that. He's a horse that, you just want to make sure they're ready. We know he's, he's a lot of quality there. He's a really good horse, but, I want to make sure that, in case he's, when their serious rain starts, and we'll make sure he's ready for it. If they're really fit and ready to do that, less chance they'll get hurt.
Yeah, you've had some fantastic Derby horses over the years, and it seems like McKenzie doesn't have the same hype as your typical Baffert Derby horse. Why is that?
I think it's because that race at Los Alamitos, he had a lot of hype. He was a favorite. He broke his maiden. Then he runs at Los Alamitos in a grade one, mounted 16th, and he was the favorite, all the hype. And he struggled. He struggled training for home. I think he got a little tired that day. He was actually done at the top of the stretch, and I was surprised he even hung on like that. He wouldn't let that horse pass him, but he got beaten after that, and he swishes his tail. And he's never done that in the mornings or ever, but that day he swished his tail. And when he won the other day, Mike says he's just ticklish. He could feel that he was doing it, but he's never done it with anybody else, just with Mike. So I don't know why. And I think a lot of people, they see that, and they just sort of, I guess they get turned off with it or something. But I think he's a really good horse.
Yeah, people don't like that tail swishing stuff. But, yeah, I mean, he's done everything you could ask of him. His speed figures are improving. And then you look at that sparkling work tab, the way he's come into this race. I mean, he looks like he's super tough. How afraid are you of Bolt Doro?
Bolt Doro, he's a beautiful horse. He looks beautiful. I watched him school yesterday, and he's going to be tough. I mean, he's a good horse. I mean, I've seen all his works, and I can't really knock him at all. I mean, I think he looks like he's pretty ready, and so I think it's going to be a good race.
Yeah, definitely. I think it might be the best Derby prep we've seen so far. I mean, that's two quality horses right there. Certainly should be around first Saturday of May. When McKenzie got beat, he got beat by Solomini, who's a really talented horse, and it looks like he's training good, getting ready. How's he coming up to his race?
Yeah, he's doing pretty well. I mean, he's the kind of horse that if you watch him work, he'll never really, you know, he's sort of a lazy grinder kind of horse, but he shows up in the afternoon. That's one thing about him. He has a lot of heart, and, Pratt, Flavian Pratt, he's high on him. He likes the way he says he's lazy, but you know, he just keeps going. He just doesn't get tired, so he knows he'll run all day. So he runs next week in the Rebel, so we're looking forward to that also.
Yeah, what a great pedigree by Curlin out of a Stormcat mare. I mean, the ceiling is just tremendous for him. You've also got Justify, who we were teasing before we went on air that you didn't tell anybody you were entering that race. They got eight horses in there. I imagine there'll be a line at the scratch box. But what a fantastic debut he had, and he should be super tough on Sunday.
Well, I mean, he looked like, you know, McKenzie, he looked that way when he broke his maiden. He looked pretty impressive like that, and that's why he was coming off that. You know, the second race is always tough. You know, when they come right back, he's going to be going a mile. The track will probably be a little wet or whatever. I'm not sure how much rain we're going to get, but it should be pretty good shape. It can, you know, they do a great job here preparing for the rain stuff. So we're looking, I'm looking forward to that, and, you know, to see what he does going two turns. You know, they still, you know, I don't see anything that would make me think he couldn't do it, but until they do it, there's some nice horses in there too. So he'll have to run.
Yeah. It'll be a test. The post position gods weren't very kind to you being out in the eight hole, but I think with his speed, it doesn't really matter where he draws.
Yeah, I mean, if he's a good horse, he should handle it.
What about Marino? He won spectacularly, then he gets beat. Everybody jumps ship. He's not even in the future bet. What about that? I was insulted.
Oh, he's not?
No,
I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
They dropped
them
off.
What happened? You know, what have you done for me lately?
Yeah, that's the way our game is.
So, yeah, is Good Magic still in there?
Good Magic. Yeah, I believe so.
I'm only kidding.
I think so.
No,
yeah.
no, that happens. You know, that's part of the. You know how everybody is about that. But no, Marino, he actually came out of his race. You know, it was really heavy that day in the rain. It was sticky, and he didn't really get any relief up front. But he came back, backed off a little bit, but he's doing well. So he's going to show up somewhere in the stake. I wouldn't completely throw him out yet.
Yeah, no, he's a talented horse, and you always got the Baffert factor, you know. You pull rabbits out of hats.
He's nice. He's a good horse, and so, you know, I wish I owned him. He's a good horse.
Yeah, yeah, there's a lot of horses that I could say that about that you train. I mean, it's a constant parade of nice ones. Speaking of nice ones, and this is a filly, but she is in the future bet Dream Tree, undefeated. Looks like a super filly right now. What's the story with her?
Oh, I'm just gonna wait for the Kentucky Oaks. I mean, not Kentucky Oaks. The San Anita Oaks runner there, and I almost ran her here, but I just didn't, you know, she's had those outs this year, so I thought I'd give her, I know she would have to run hard. I didn't know how the track was going to be. The track turned out to be really in great shape for that race. So, you know, we're saving her for that. So we're, you know, she's coming right along. Looks great.
Yeah, she's really a nice filly. Well, we got the San Anita handicap today or tomorrow rather, and it's a tremendous accomplishment to win that race in any year. This isn't the toughest San Anita handicap of all time, but you've got Moop Tahij in there. I've written extensively about how well you've managed this horse, and he's kind of a difficult horse to train. Am I correct?
Yeah, he can be. He can be a little bit tough, and you know, he's pretty excited. I think last time, and I had the blinkers on, but we're taking the blinkers off for this one. I think the blinkers are making him a little bit too keen. He found himself on the lead, and he was pulling him, and like he didn't really. I don't think he was very, and then comfortable. And then he came back. Then he tried to run a little bit at the end, but he drew well for this, and blinkers come off, and I think he should. He should run well. He should like the mile. You know, we know he can go a mile and a quarter. But I really like him. And opportunity, you know, he's on a quarter as long as the track's not too wet or fast. You know, he needs a pace to run at.
Yeah, the weather's a major concern. I always hate when they run top races on off tracks. It kind of loses a little bit
of
luster.
It does change everything, you know.
Yeah. So, sometimes horses,
well, and then the jockeys start riding differently too because they're trying to, you know, they're trying to ride the bias, and that can change, you know, that can change a horse up mentally also.
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes at Santa Anita the track is sealed and it gets really super fast, or sometimes, you know, it's like a plowed field. You never know what you're going to get. So a lot of stress involved with that. So it's going to be a big weekend for you. What are you looking forward to the most?
I'm really looking forward to. I look forward to the San Felipe, and I'm pretty excited about Justify. So now that he's in, I can say, yeah, I'm really excited about this horse. before we're like, oh, I hope that race goes. I remember when the condition book came out and the horse was in, and I saw that race. I go, oh, that would be a great plan. I'd run him here. If he wins, I'd run him there. That's my plan. And if he does well there, then I can take a shot at one of the big ones. And if not, we can just wait for a Preakness or something like that. You know, if he can go two turns. So once this race went, then I felt pretty good about it. So now we can find out if he's all the hype. Never know.
Yeah, because you've got several options. If he, shows up big in this race, and now you can kind of pick a spot, and if he runs well again, he's automatic. It's like a win, and you're in for the Derby the next crew.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's pretty cool. How worried are you about the Apollo Curse?
You know what? I'm going to call it the Big Brown move. Forget that two-year-old star. It was too far away, you know. I think he really has – he had a pretty good foundation in him. So that's the key. He does have I put a pretty good foundation in all these horses. You know, like Buddy Meister, he almost pulled it off, you know. So
right. Right, he did.
So it can be done. I think it's different now. But I'd rather have the talent first. And then you need the racing luck, you know. So I just don't. Right now, we're worried about just getting there right now and keeping them healthy and happy. And you know, and you see all these preps. You saw what happened last week. You know, like you all of a sudden you see the horse jumps up, good magic. You know, it looks like he got tired, but you know, I still think he's the horse to beat.
Well, that's interesting that you're still high on Good Magic, because a lot of people have already jumped ship. But
no, he needed that race. Yeah. You know, it's when you have a champion, you're coming back, and I've been there. You just sort of baby him a little bit, and so you know. But I still think he's the horse to beat.
Well, nobody knows better than you, and you're certainly as good as it gets as far as trainers are concerned. You do send him out fit and ready. So if anybody's going to break the Apollo Curse, it would probably be
Bolt, yeah. Bolt the Oro. He might be the horse to beat. You know, we're going to find out a lot of, you know, hey, you can talk all you want, but the horses, they got to show it.
They do the talking in the end, don't they?
This is when they start separating themselves. So this is when you want to, like, March Madness, you know?
Yeah, that's right. Well,
you can lose and keep on. That's the only good thing about it. You can lose and just keep on. Keep that dream alive. That's all we want.
We want
the party to continue.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for spending some time. I know you're super busy this weekend, and I appreciate every minute that you give us. You're always great.
Anytime, dude. I love your show.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Wow. Yeah, I guess the difference between this round of horse racing preps for the Kentucky Derby and March Madness is the fact that, as Bob alluded to, you get to keep going if you get beat. You're not eliminated.
Yeah, it's not one and done. You know, some great insights there.
Great insights.
I thought it was interesting, you know, his affection for good magic.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's interesting to hear his take on things, because he's looking at it from a whole different perspective than the average racing fan or pundit or whoever. I mean, he's in the trenches and he's scouting the competition. And so, you know, it's interesting, the things that go through his head. And I tried to ask him some different questions, because he gets the same questions over and over and over again. And I know I didn't want any canned answers. So, since I know him so well, you know, it was nice to have the conversation with him.
Yeah, absolutely tremendous. Great stuff from Bob Baffert. That interview will be posted on our website, horseracingradio.net, after we finish here this morning. So if you missed any portion of it, head back over and check that out, as well as this entire program. You can listen to us, horseracingradio.net and Horse Racing Radio Network on iTunes. Let's see. Mike Nyman is coming up after our next break. He is the director of marketing at Gulfstream. We'll tell you about a busy weekend in South Florida. And Mike Willman, toward the end of the program, he'll join us from Santa Anita to give you an update on everything happening at the Great Race Place. You know, it was, I say not long ago. It seems like it really wasn't all that long ago, but I guess it was. It was 1980 when Spectacular Bid won the big cap, the Santa Anita handicap under Bill Shoemaker, for trainer Bud Delp. And earlier this week, Spectacular Bid's initial rider, Ronnie Franklin, passed away at the age of 58. And that is your Blood Horse news update for this morning. Or it will be once I read the story. Totally threw a curveball at our poor producer over here. Ronnie Franklin, the Baltimore kid who nearly won the Triple Crown aboard Spectacular Bid before his riding career went off the rails. He died on March 7th, the Baltimore Sun reported. He was 58 and had been battling lung cancer. Had Ronnie, teaming with Hall of Fame trainer Buddy Delp, Franklin burst onto the racing scene in 1978, just 2 years after he first arrived at the track as a 16-year-old dropout when he dropped out of high school. During his 1978 season, Franklin won 262 races and amassed purse earnings of more than $1.7 million and nearly went on to pull off the Triple Crown aboard the Great Spectacular Bid. And that is indeed your Blood Horse news update for this morning. For more industry news and headlines, head over to bloodhorse.com, and don't miss any of the three-year-old Derby prep races and other races around the country like only Blood Horse can bring you. Follow the races and news throughout the day on the popular Blood Horse Daily app, or have an email sent to you once a day. Both are free. Just go to bloodhorse.com/daily. Mike Nyman stops by to visit next. That's on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, and it's all presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Michael Blowen, founder of Old Friends Thoroughbred Retirement Farm. One of our highest priorities for these living legends is safety. That's why the fence we trust most at Old Friends is the V-mesh Keepsake from Red Brand. Keepsake features a V-mesh weave to prevent hooves from getting caught, and the mesh design flexes on impact. Learn more about the quality, safety, and long-lasting value of Keepsake V-mesh horse fence by visiting redbrand.com.
Presented by Red Brand, manufacturer of Keepsake V-mesh and non-climb horse fence, trusted by farms and veterinarians worldwide.
Airdrie Studs Summer Front, a gorgeous millionaire son of the Great War Front, has wasted no time in establishing himself as a major force in the commercial marketplace. Known on the racetrack for his electric turn of foot, Summer Front's first crop weanlings averaged over $100,000 with a sensational $100,000 median at the Keeneland November sale, all from an initial stud fee of just $10,000. Airdrie Studs Summer Front. Think about it.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Bolt Doro is forging clear. This is a high-caliber colt. We're witnessing the emergence of a star as Bolt Doro treats his rivals to a comprehensive walloping in the front-runner.
Bolt Doro showcased his brilliance with an impressive score in the Grade 1 front-runner as a 2-year-old last fall and makes his highly anticipated 3-year-old debut in this afternoon's Grade 2 San Felipe. Part of a big weekend for Darley-sired runners in Derby preps coast-to-coast. Bolt Doro, a son of Darley Stallion Medallia Doro, squares off with McKenzie, a son of Darley Stallion Street Sense in that San Felipe, while Enticed, another promising 3-year-old by Medallia Doro, goes postward in the Grade 3 Gotham at Aqueduct, and Animal Kingdom's son, Untamed Domain, makes his main track debut in the Grade 2 Tampa Bay Derby. To learn more about Medallia Doro, Street Sense, Animal Kingdom, and all the Darley Stallions, visit DarleyAmerica.com.
And they're off.
Join HRRN for Saturdays at Gulfstream. Every Saturday during Gulfstream Park's championship meet, we'll bring you live racing coverage of Gulfstream's biggest stakes races, complete with expert analysis from our award-winning staff. This week's featured race is the Captiva Island Stakes. Saturdays at Gulfstream, exclusively on HRRN. Go to horseracingradio.net for more information or to listen live.
Hi, this is Joel Rosario.
Hi, this is Jockey John Court.
Hi, this is Calvin Burrow. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Avery Island is in behind the front runners as they come off the turn and enter the stretch. And here is Catholic Boy now to take over the lead. Catholic Boy in front as they pass the 3/16th pole. Catholic Boy with a 3-length lead. Then Avery Island and Vouch and Tap Rap Strike and Alcatam. But it's Catholic Boy, and he may have grown up some today. Catholic Boy wins the Remsen under Manny Franco. Avery Island was second and Vouch finished third. The time was 1:52.25.
John Emreal with the call of the Remsen. Catholic Boy, so impressive that day. He made his 3-year-old debut in the Sam F. Davis at Tampa Bay Downs on February 10th, ran a good second, and we'll see him in action March 31st at Gulfstream Park in the Florida Derby, and we will be there to bring you all that coverage of the Express Bet Florida Derby right here exclusively on HRRN. Looking forward to getting down there to Gulfstream and bringing you all of that action. And it's going to be a great, great day of racing. Another good day coming up this afternoon. And to help us with all of those details, our good friend Mike Nyman, Director of Marketing at Gulfstream, is with us here on HRRN. Mike, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How's it going? How was Barbados?
Oh, fantastic.
Off the charts.
I'm jealous.
Yeah, sleep deprived, but other than that, our condo was directly across the street from a 24/7 bar, which sounds amazing unless you're there to work and put together a broadcast, because there were bands playing all night long, and it was like they were in our bedroom with us. So other than that, we were don't no bands for the Florida Derby, Mike. I don't want to hear any music.
No problem.
Looking forward to that broadcast and that day. That's only a few weeks away. Hard to believe it. The Florida Derby will be here before we know it. But the championship meet is in full swing, and you've got another big day this afternoon.
Absolutely. Another great day here. It looks like the weather's going to be really nice here, fast and firm. I was just downstairs at our family weekly breakfast, and the weather looks really good for the day. So obviously that's always important, and the weather has been good here most of the meet. So obviously that helps the turf racing and the racing overall. You know, today we have a 13-race card. We kick it off at noon, and we'll have two turf sprint races on the card today, which is the Silks Run and the Captiva Island race. If you've ever been to Captiva Island, it's beautiful, so just kind of throw that in. So these are 2 5-furlong turf races, and we'll have a total of 8 turf races out of 13 races today. So another exciting day and a great day of turf racing as always, and looking forward to it.
Yeah, the card's very interesting today, and there's some opportunities. What about the Rainbow Six?
Well, it's over $3 million now, the Rainbow Six, and it's driving every day. It's building like amazing. We've had a few days where, you know, there's been singles. 2 days ago, they had 3 singles in the last race, albeit they were all big prices, but, you know, that's kind of what it takes to have the single ticket. So, you know, there's been opportunities for people to take the pool down. Everybody's been asking me, of course, the mandatory day. That's still being discussed here. So once that's announced or they let us know, we'll certainly be putting that out there. So looking forward to that and right up to the Florida Derby in 3 weeks from today. So the meet, like always, it just goes by so quick. And then, of course, we ratchet it up again on April 5th on that Thursday, I believe, right, April 5th, and then we'll start the spring-summer meet. So on April, we'll be running Thursdays through Sundays pretty much through the summer. It'll be a 4-day race week.
Yeah, hard to believe that we're already talking about the spring or the summer meet. Looking forward to that. And, you know, the numbers last year were up yet again, and that's been kind of a recurring theme over the past few years, Mike, not only with the summer meet, but now with the championship meet as well. And I know you're having another tremendous meet this year.
Yeah, it's been amazing. You know, I've been here about 7.5 years now since Tim Ritvo brought me aboard, and it's been amazing that every year we've been able to continue to grow the handle. I see the national handle starting to grow a little bit too, which is great, and I know that we have a lot to do with that here at Gulfstream. They're going to be raising purses in the spring summer 10%, so you know that's been very popular. And then of course our Gulfstream Park West. They added about 30% in purses last year. I suspect they'll be doing something with that also. And it's just been very positive. It's just great to be around a place that's so focused on racing, working for a company that's so focused on racing, and just so many big events that they've brought here over the years, like, of course, the Caribbean Classic, which will be back next year. Pegasus will be back for its 3rd year. And, of course, all our regular premium days have all been good. Fountain of Youth last week increased the handle from last year, and this place was packed. I mean, it was packed from wall to wall. There wasn't too much parking to be found by 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon here. So anybody that does come out, always suggest, you know, coming out early. We got a great crowd here, especially on Saturday. It's great to come out, have breakfast, hang out and enjoy the weather, and you spend the day watching the races. So it's just a great place to be.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the breakfast, Mike. Breakfast at Gulfstream every Saturday, 8 to 10:30. Is that right?
That's correct. It's 8 to 10:30. It's a $10 all-you-can-eat breakfast, though if you choose you don't want to have breakfast, that's okay. Bring the kids out. We have the ponies. A pony that we bring out every week. They can hop on and get their picture taken, and we take everybody on a tram ride of the barn area and give them some, you know, get the public connected to how this game really works from the bottom up. We do a lot. We have characters. We interview all kinds of people just to educate them about the game. We'll have trainers and vets and all kinds of even farriers and people of interest, because it's good for the kids and stuff. You know, we should be like any other industry where we can show a future of something that you can, you know, want to get into a business like this and, you know, work your way up. So There's a lot of opportunities in a lot of different fields, obviously, in racing. There's just so many different components of the business on the front side and obviously on the back side. So that, to me, is really important, and show people that this is a great place to have a career and a vocation. And I just continue to see great things in the future. And as I always like to say, you know, the naysayers can be the naysayers, but to me, that's not, you know, a problem. I see that the whole industry, you know, starting to move forward. A lot of good things they're talking about there, like national medication rules and things, which I think would be great. And I know a lot of people agree with that. And it's just great to be working for a company that's so poised on racing. And, you know, I have to say that, you know, Frank Stronach obviously has led the way, and he's put his money, you know, where his mouth is, in a business where very few people are willing to do that today. And I think it proves out in the success of the company.
Yeah, the guy's a visionary, has been for a long, long time. And it is a unique situation. A lot of racetracks are rather backward in their utilization of horse racing. They put the casinos first and the horses second. But Stronach's a racing guy, and that's to the benefit of everyone in our sport.
Yeah, and you mentioned the Racino, and this is really the only one in the U.S. where racing leads the way, and racing brings the casino customers here. Our biggest days in the casino are on our biggest racing days, and it's always been that way. So it's great. You know, we get some of that crossover, and I think we get it here more than a lot of other places. A lot of the other casino operators, they have racing because they have to have it for whatever reason, and they kind of put it on the back burner, or you walk in a casino and you have to walk 200 yards before you even realize there's a track there. So racing's a great game, and as like I tell people, there's nothing like it. It's, you know, you're not playing against the house, you're playing against everybody else, so it's, you know, it's you against the other customers, and I think that's the way to play. That's why I always loved racing, and even myself, you know, before I was working here, I've been, you know, going to the racetrack since I'm 16, and I always enjoy that much better. I'm not a lottery player or a casino player or whatever. I enjoy the challenge of having to read a program, come up with a winner, and like we all like to be around, you know, it's a very social thing, and when you have the winner, you love to say, hey, I got it. And that's, you know, a big part of the fun of the game and the socialization. And even though, you know, a lot of people today are betting online and maybe not coming out to the track as much as in the past, but still, you can't replace that human element of the socialness and everything. I mean, I love today where I walk around and I get to talk to everybody and just see everybody enjoying a good day here, and it's my favorite day of the week.
Yeah, and you're going to get a chance to welcome, and I know you love walking around with new people, Mark Wimsatt from Louisville, Kentucky, who will be with us at the Florida Derby. He won the Road to the Florida Derby Challenge, and I know you're looking forward to meeting him and treating him to a wonderful weekend at Gulfstream Park for that Florida Derby.
Absolutely, you can count on it, and we're all going to have a great time here, and we're going to show everybody, of course, everybody that comes here a great day. But, for our winner in the contest, which congratulations. And we'll be looking forward to entertaining you here. And you'll have a great time. We have a lot of good things set up. We're going to get you, you know, a good close-eye view of a lot of things. And, of course, the best part, you get to be on HRRN.
Yeah, that's the best part, right?
But, by the way, Mike, I just didn't want to forget. I'd be remiss not to mention to you that today, I think it's the race 9, okay? So this is your and mine little tip horse.
Right.
So if you look at the 10 horse in the 9th race, it's called Here's to Mike.
Oh, beautiful. We're all over it.
I figured that. I'll be all over it.
What's the morning line?
10-1.
Beautiful.
Yeah, smoke it in.
And the guy got Nick Juarez up, and Jane Sibilli is the trainer of the horse. So it's a nice race. It's a big field. It's a 12-horse turf race in the 9th race, so a mile and a 16th. So that should be interesting. I'll keep an eye on that.
Yeah, all over it. Mike Nyman with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike, as always, appreciate the visit. Enjoy your afternoon in sunny Florida. We're going to freeze up here for a little bit longer and then look forward to getting down there on March 31st.
Absolutely. Looking forward to having you all here, and take care, and say hi to Michelle and Jude. Looking forward to seeing you as well.
Yeah, it'll be great.
Thanks, Mike.
Take care, guys.
Mike Nyman, boy, yeah, doing a tremendous job down there at Gulfstream. They really, really, when we say that, I mean, I know we talk about it a lot on the show, they really have things moving in the right direction. And there's a reason that their numbers continue to grow. The field sizes are big. The betting handle, people love it. The wagering opportunities are great. And the atmosphere is really second to none.
Yeah, the atmosphere is great. It's so pleasurable to be at a racetrack where people are walking around smiling, having a good time almost all the time. I mean, there's really never any downtime. And of course, you know, our location is near a bar, so we do have people that are having a really good time sometimes, but it's a lot of fun and just a very enjoyable place to go to the races. It's way high on my scale.
Another great place is Santa Anita. That's why they call it the Great Race Place. And when we come back, we're going to visit with their director of publicity, our good friend Mike Willman. Stay with us. It's the Equine Forum on HRRN, your home for the Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Racing fans, the moment has arrived. It's Santa Anita Handicap Day. In addition to the 81st running of the legendary Big Cap on Saturday, top derby prospects will go a mile and a 16th in the Grade 2 San Felipe, and we'll also have the Grade 1 Frankie Kilrow Mile and the Grade 1 Triple Bend Stakes. Along with great racing, we've got great gambling as well, with a $1 million guaranteed late pick 4 and a revamped wagering menu that includes $2 win place and show parlay wagers. And beginning Sunday, we'll have an 11:30 a.m. start on all Sundays. Santa Anita, great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
This successful son of AP Indy has sired 6 millionaires, including 2017 Eclipse champion 3-year-old West Coast. A dominant winner of the Grade 1 Travers and Pennsylvania Derby, West Coast also placed in the Breeders' Cup Classic and was runner-up in the $16 million Pegasus World Cup. In the sales ring, Juveniles by Flatter bought up to $600,000, and his yearlings sold up to $460,000. Flatter, standing at Claiborne Farm.
Hey, this is the Big A, Anthony Stabile. Join me this Saturday on the road to the Kentucky Derby for coverage of all three Derby prep races, the Gotham from Aqueduct, the Tampa Bay Derby from Tampa Bay Downs, and the San Felipe from Santa Anita. It's all a part of our Saturdays at Gulfstream coverage featuring the Captiva Island. Tune in on SiriusXM 93 at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time or stream it live on your home for all of racing's biggest days, including the 144th Kentucky Derby at horseracingradio.net.
Hi, this is Joel Rosario, and I listen to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
The field covered by a dozen lengths, and Lombo is giving them something to think about. It's his two-turn debut, and he increases his lead to 3 lengths upon swinging for home. Dark Vader second under the whip. Shiver Me Timbers capitulating. Ayakara continues to pick up. He's on the inside getting into third. Peace is a long way back fourth. Past the eighth pole comes Lombo beneath Flavion Prutt. He shows them a clean pair of heels. Lombo and the Lewis about 4 lengths in front of Ayakara, who is continuing to find the line encouragingly, but he won't catch Lombo. Lombo beats Ayakara, Dark Vader, Regulate, and Peace.
Mike Pena, Jude Feld, back with you on the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Michael Rona had the call of the Robert B. Lewis. Lombo pulling off the upset that afternoon. He'll try to do it again when he goes postward in the San Felipe against Bolt Doro and McKinsey. part of a huge, huge card at Santa Anita this afternoon that includes the big cap, the Santa Anita Handicap. And to help us figure it all out is our good friend Mike Willman, Director of Publicity at Santa Anita. Mike, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Great to be with you guys.
Yeah, happy to have you back on board. First and foremost, what's the weather forecast look like for this afternoon?
Well, I mean, I'd like to give you a Chamber of Commerce take, but it looks like we're going to have some rain moving in around noonish, and then it kind of the probabilities get bigger through the afternoon. In other words, of, you know, 60% chance, 70, 80, and so on. What I don't know is how much rain. I don't think it's going to be that much rain. I think it's kind of be a wet. They say it's a tropical type storm. It's not cold. We're just hoping to get these races in with a minimal amount of rain, and that's why they kind of front-loaded the Kilrow, which is, you know, is run on the grass, and the San Felipe goes right after that as the sixth. And the way things have shaken out, there's no question that the three-year-old race, the Grade II San Felipe, is the race of the day. There's so much on the line here.
Yeah, it's maybe the best Kentucky Derby prep we've seen all year. Would you agree with that?
I would, but Jude, be honest, I'm just in the barrel here. I have a tough time trying to pay as much attention as I should to the other races around the country just because I'm so damn busy, but I've heard people say that, so sounds good to me.
Glad you agree with me.
Yeah.
Well, when you get Bolt Duro and you get McKenzie in a showdown, and then, you know, you throw in some of the others that we're going to see in there, like Lombo, who we know is capable of pulling off big upsets, and then Kantaka from the West Point Thoroughbred Connections for Hall of Famer Jerry Hollendorfer. He did nothing wrong last time. This is a really good race, Mike.
It's a great race. They say Kantaka has really trained well, and of course, this will be his first time long. He's a dangerous horse. I would not agree with that. I would not disagree with that. I agree with John Knight, the morning line maker. He made McKenzie the 8-5 favorite over Bolt Duro at 2. McKenzie holds a condition edge because they missed so much time with Bolt Duro coming off that disappointing third in the Breeders' Cup. Then, you know, he quite frankly, up until about 3-4 weeks ago, he just really hasn't looked good in the morning. But I will tell you this, Bolt Duro has turned things around. He's moving like his old self. That last half mile with Victor Espinosa, that was a solid move. It really was. And, you know, he's had some troubles walking out of the gate, including his 6-furlong gate work with Castellano. That was back on February 26th. He just kind of stood there. And you don't want to do that in these big races. I think he's going to break with his friends today and give a good account of himself. But I just think McKenzie at this point, they haven't missed a beat with him coming off that win in the Sham here on January 6th. And I think he deserves to be the favorite. And I like him in kind of a tough call today. I think Bolt Duro second and Jerry's horse will be third. And then hopefully we'll move on to that $1 million Santa Anita Derby on April 7th. And hopefully we'll keep everybody in the gate today and nobody's going to defect because of the conditions. And that is a concern, you know. Now, McKenzie's got quite a few points. Bolt Duro's in a position where he needs to get some points cobbled together. If they were to opt not to run today, then what? You know, are you really going to train into the Santa Anita Derby and the prospect of facing Baffert's monstrous Justify in there and some others, including perhaps McKenzie, and hope that you run 1, 2, 3 to get to the Kentucky Derby? I think Bolt Duro runs. McKenzie, I think Bob's got a lot to consider there, and we're hoping he stays in.
Well, Mick Ruiz told Mike and I last week that Bolt Duro was running regardless of the track condition, so I don't think you have to worry about him for sure.
That's good news.
Yeah, and you know, looking through the rundown of the past performances for the San Felipe, there isn't a single three-year-old in that race that's ever raced on a wet track, so it's a crapshoot as to who will handle it the best, Mike.
Yeah, you know, you're probably not old enough, Mike, but I know Jude is. The old American song, so it never rains in Southern California, Ventura Highway, all that. So we just haven't had that much adversity out here, but it looks like now we're going to have some. I think it's kind of fun.
Yeah, it's an interesting element to throw into the mix for this afternoon's races. And, you know, the other race that people will have their eye on, of course, it's a good card and there's lots of great stakes action, but that big cap, maybe not the strongest big cap we've ever seen, but it's a competitive big cap, Mike.
It is, but, I mean, I have to acknowledge, and I think most people are, that this is not what the Santa Anita handicap has been over the years. And I know Tim Ritvo has been interviewed extensively recently. We saw Rick Hammerly's quotes in a column by Jay Hovde in Daily Racing Form, I think yesterday. There is no question in my mind, and I have not been in on the meetings, but what I'm hearing, this race is going to be moved. We're just in an impossible place on the calendar right now between this behemoth that is the Pegasus World Cup, 16 million, and the Dubai World Cup. So I look for this race to be moved to late June, maybe July 4th weekend next year, get the purse back up and try and really inject some life into it. We got to shake it up. There's no question in my mind.
Yeah, it is kind of a tough spot, and especially now that it's a week later than the first Saturday in March, it kind of negates horses running back in the Dubai World Cup for some ungodly reason. Horses can't run more than once every 2-3 months, but it is in a bad spot, and it's such a great race and has such great history. I think it's well worth saving and putting in a place where it can be effective on the racing calendar.
Yeah, and we know what it was. We know the tremendous anticipation, the buzz that this race created for so many years. It was so good for racing for Santa Anita, and we got to help it out a little bit. That said, it is a good betting race, Mike, as you noted.
Yeah,
and I'm not all that creative in here. I like Accelerate. The mile and a quarter is a question, but it's a question for several. He's really good right now, and I'm going to stick with him off his win in the San Pasqual. In terms of a long shot, I tell you, Vladimir Serena is a very dangerous man, as is DeSormo. Top of the game ran a mile here about four back, and it was an ungraded stake called the Comet of the Top. That just blew you away visually if you go back and look at it. I know that's a long time. I think it was October. I'm scrambling to get his PPs. Let's see. The Comet of the Top would have been October 28th. And I know the mile and a quarter is still a question for him, but he's got some quality there. There's no big, heavy hitters in this lineup. And top of the game at 10-1, I'd make him a little bit dangerous.
And that big cap comes up at 8 o'clock Eastern. That's 5 o'clock on the West Coast. There is a special noon Pacific time first post at Santa Anita later today and a carryover in the pick six of more than $34,000. And it is going to be a tremendous day of racing. Regardless of the weather, don't let that deter you from taking a look at the races at Santa Anita. Mike, before we let you go, how about some quick thoughts on the Triple Bend, which is race 4, and the Kilroe Mile, which will be race 5?
Well, I think the Kilroe Mile is a single for just a whole lot of people. World approval. This is a horse we just fell into our lap. Wow. Thanks to Mark Cassie. So he's a single there. In the Triple Bend, Michael, don't call him Whitey McCarthy anymore. He's got City of Light, upset winner opening day of the Malibu. And he's strictly the horse to beat. Pete Miller, I don't know, I'm sure you guys may have heard, played some games here with this race. I had the advance written. Roy H. was entered, the Eclipse Award-winning sprinter. He won the Breeders' Cup Sprint. And Pete went in there and pulled the horse out of the entry box. And it looks like maybe it was done to keep a couple other folks out. So some gamesmanship, but a lot of people don't like it. It's a grade one, and I just don't think it's how you roll. I really don't. That said, he's got two horses in there, and I really think they feel Captain Scotty can win it. His resume is very light. He draws outside. They get that guy, Javier Castellano, and I think it's City of Light and Captain Scotty. That's just my opinion.
All right. He is Mike Willman and Director of Publicity at Santa Anita. It is a huge afternoon.
Jude, I also wanted to tell you, we did not seal the track overnight, guys. and it's open for training this morning. We were going to leave it open until 9:30, but they're closing it at the 8:30 break. I think there is some concern. They don't want to get caught maybe with an early rain here. But it was not tightened down overnight, which I think is good news. Play it for a fast track until what you see dictates otherwise.
All right.
Good advice.
We appreciate it, my friend. Thanks for being with us. And like
okay, guys.
Always, we'll send you that gift courtesy of Embrace the Race.
Yeah, I'm still waiting.
We'll take care of that. Don't worry. Mike Willman.
Thanks very much.
Here on HRRN. Man, that guy's great, isn't he?
Yeah, Mike's a good guy. I've known him many, many years. Back in our old press box days at Santa Anita in like late 70s, early 80s. And yeah, he's a good man.
What do you think of the Pete Miller move? Seems like a little bit of dirty pool to me. No?
I don't think...
You're a former trainer, so you know how this works.
Yeah, I'm a former trainer, and Pete used to work for me. If he took the horse, I would rather that he take the horse out before they draw the race than leave him in and scratch him at the last minute.
Right.
You know, I don't know. I don't know what the reasons were. Could have been weather, could have been gamesmanship. I don't know. It whatever. But I think it's better that he comes out before they draw the race. Everybody has a square shot at the post draw. You know, it is what it is.
All right, we're going to get to one final break. But before we do, I want to remind you that the two-year-old sales season gets underway on Tuesday with the OBS March sale. And that's where you'll find Coolmore America's Verrazano, who is strongly represented by 14 members of his first crop. By far the best son of More Than Ready, Verrazano produced a scintillating performance to win the Haskell Invitational by nearly 10 lengths, earning a 116 buyer, the highest of any three-year-old in 2013. He has already passed on those good looks with his first yearlings, realizing up to $650,000 last year, and with several extremely impressive breezes on the board so far in Ocala, 2018 is shaping up to be a big year for Verrazano. So call the team at Ashford to get in while you still can. We're back to wrap it up. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing
Castleton the Castleton Lions is home to Blue Blood sprinter fence. Justin Phillip and multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti. Justin Phillip was North America's number one ranked second crop sire by earnings in January of 2018. Represented this year by exciting stakes place three-year-olds Upset Brewing and Blushing Justine, along with Riano Tesoro. Now 3-for-4 lifetime after taking the 36 million yen Crocus Stakes at Tokyo Racecourse on January 27th. Justin Phillip is also the sire of What a Catch, winner of last year's Rockville Center Stakes at 2. 7-time Grade 1 winner Gio Ponti continues to prove his offspring can run on any surface at any distance. The sire of Eclipse champion and Breeders' Cup sprint winner Dre Fong
has won.
Canadian Classic hero Sir Dudley Diggs.
Sir Dudley Diggs has won the Queen's Plate.
And marathon specialist Runtime.
But Runtime! Motors on the outside!
Justin Phillip and Gio Ponti standing at Castleton Lions. Visit CastletonLions.com.
Bloom Racing.
Sky Diamonds takes the lead. Sky Diamonds to win going away.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
It's Snapper St. Clair game. He's reaching for the line. It's Snapper St. Clair to do it.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwich Shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan?
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 in 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you got to be more than fast.
More than fast.
You got to be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Avalapadopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
Ed's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Order Jimmy John's sandwich delivery today. Jimmy John's, where fresh and fast meet.
Gulfstream's championship meet is in full stride with top-class racing now through April 1st. Visit GulfstreamPark.com today to reserve your seats for the $1 million Express Bet Florida Derby on Saturday, March 31st, when many of the nation's top three-year-olds look to take one final step toward the Run for the Roses. And every day during the championship meet, you can take your shot at a life-changing score by playing the Rainbow Six. For more information, visit GulfstreamPark.com or download the Gulfstream Park app on your mobile device.
Power.
And Tapazar, a sterling performance today. Tapazar and Corey Nakatani take the dirt mile.
Passion.
And it's American pastime in a very, very impressive effort today.
Performance.
But it's Monomoy Girl and the Rachel Alexandra Stakes. Varonge Rue and Monomoy Girl, 1/3.
Gainesway stallion Tapazar is Tappet's leading miler, breaking his maiden by 10.5 lengths as a 2-year-old, wiring the Grade 3 Sham Stakes by 4.5 lengths at 3, and running away with the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile at 4. A top 10 third crop sire, now with more than $3 million in progeny earnings, including Monomoy Girl, who discovered a new racing style while winning the Grade 2 Rachel Alexandra at the fairgrounds, closing from last to blow by the field in the stretch. Monomoy Girl is now being pointed for Keeneland's Grade 1 Ashland. Tapazar, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Yo, guys, they call me Jersey Joe, but it's only Joe Bravo. Call me whatever you like. Just so happy that you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
Our thanks to all of our guests for joining us here this morning. Ed DeRosa, Hall of Famer Bob Baffert, Mike Nyman, and Mike Willman. Don't forget, we're back this afternoon, 5:30 Eastern, Sirius XM 93. Coverage of the Gotham, Tampa Bay Derby, San Felipe, and the Captiva Island from Gulfstream. Should be a huge, huge day. Check out the podcast of this show at horseracingradio.net. Been fun, JT.
Absolutely.
All right. For our producer, Lee Delapina, here in our Jimmy John's of Lexington studio. Chauncey, Sean C. with our social media. For Jude Felt, I'm Mike Penn, and we'll talk to you later today on HRN. Go Steelers.
Good night, Barbados.